This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome in. It's the Jim Day Podcast. We're back. Everyone loves this guy. I'm not kidding. Spencer Steer, how you doing?
I'm well, Jim. Thanks for having me on.
Having you back. I love that, that you've already been on here. Getting to know you and further getting to know you. Dig it. How are things on the field?
Things are good. I can't complain. Woke up today. Sun's shining. I'm healthy.
See, this is what I love about you. You just roll with the punches, man. It doesn't matter. We've talked about this before. It doesn't matter. You come in like, all right, Spence, I'm going to need you to play first base today. All right, whatever. Need you to play left field. Never done it. All right, whatever. Second, third, hit anywhere in the lineup. It's okay. Roll with the punches.
You got to.
Why are you like that? I mean, some guys aren't. Some guys aren't willing to do stuff like that. Like, vehemently against it. Like, won't do it. In the past. I'm not going to mention any names. No one on this team, but.
Yeah, I don't know. I think it's just perspective and mindset, I guess.
Yeah.
Like, especially coming in last year, I mean, I was just wanting to play. Just wanted to find a way in the lineup every day. And, the more positions you play, the more opportunity you have to be in the lineup, because you know how this game is. Guys get hurt.
Yeah.
Guys need off days. So I think it was a pretty just natural thing to just wherever they need me and however I can get on the field consistently. So, yeah.
We're at the point now, though, that they want you in there. They need you in there. It's not like, okay, this guy's here, this guy's there. I guess we'll move Spencer around. They need you in there. So do you feel that, particularly at the plate, they need your bat in the lineup now? That's a big difference to trying to find your way to. They need you.
Yeah, I mean, I believe in myself. I think I can make an impact on a nightly basis. So yeah. I would agree with that. That's all I'm really trying to do is come in every night, no matter how the day before went, and focus on taking four or five good at-bats tonight and trying to help the team win. And I think I can do that on a nightly basis. So, yeah, I would agree with you that it's changed a little bit,
Changed a lot of it.
Compared to this year,
last
year.
You're just trying to stick when you come up here first, you're trying to stick. Now it's like, they need you. Need you. You're entrenched.
Yeah.
So, but the value of a guy that can move around, particularly in today's game, particularly with the guys that play multiple positions, but to be able to know, okay, we can put Spencer, we need his bat in the lineup, and we can also put him in multiple places, is so, so valuable. You do realize the value of this, right?
Yeah. I think that's just kind of where the game goes.
Yeah.
Like, the game's always evolving, and it's always, it's just always evolving. And I think that's kind of where it's going, where teams are going to be looking for guys that are playing multiple positions. Like, if you look at teams, like, I think it was the Padres or something like that, their opening day roster, they had, like, almost every guy in the field was drafted as a shortstop.
Yeah.
And I think that's what teams look for, is, like, they draft guys that are shortstops, or the draft guys that's a second baseman. And the odds are, whatever you're drafted as, like, I was drafted as a shortstop, like, you're not going to end up playing there.
Well, that's where your best athletes are.
Yeah. So I just
and
think
usually you're the best athlete on whatever team you're playing when you're getting drafted, or one of,
typically, but
So you're going to be in a prime time position, like short, center, maybe.
Yeah. I mean, a lot of guys, I'd say majority of the guys at this level probably were shortstops or center fielders in college or high school, wherever they got drafted out of.
You could handle shortstop right in a pinch.
Yeah. I mean, I could definitely
play short last year?
No, never.
But you can handle it in a pinch. I actually asked this question. Do you think Spencer Steer could handle shortstop in a pinch? And the answer was emphatically yes.
Yeah. No, I definitely could if they needed me out there for a game.
Yeah.
For a series. Like,
yeah,
I would be able to handle the position, no doubt.
Oh, your swing is beautiful. I mean, it's you laugh, but I'm serious. I've watched a lot of swings, Spencer, over the years. Some are prettier than others. But you're always on balance. Like, you rarely have an off-balance swing. Is this something that you've always had? Is it something that you sought after? I mean, balance is so important. But it looks like the same swing nearly every time.
I think it's always just been something that is just like a byproduct of my approach, I guess. Like, I'm always looking to stay in the middle of the field, especially like timing up a fastball to hit it like over the center fielder's head or to right center. And that kind of keeps me on time and still able to hit a breaking ball that's hung in the zone. So I just think like it's just a byproduct of my approach. I just don't think it gets me out in front too often.
Yeah,
it definitely still happens. But
you can definitely hit a breaking ball now. Some guys can't.
Yeah. And I just think that's what makes me comfortable with two strikes too, is just the ability to trust that I can be on time for a heater and trust that like my eyes will see a breaking ball pop and I'll do, you know, the necessary movements to kind of delay the swing just a tick.
Yeah.
To hit a breaking ball. So
What type of pitchers give you the most trouble? Like when you come in and you look at a scouting report or you look at video and you're like, all right, this is going to be a tough night. Are there any?
I think the toughest guys are like Wheeler, for example. We're facing him tomorrow. And he's a guy that has a really good four-seam fastball and a really good sinker. And I think those guys...
They look the same, right?
Yeah.
The same arm slot.
So those guys are really tough.
Yeah.
Because it's almost like, do I pick the four seam to go after? Do I pick the sinker? Do I just look for the ball over the middle of the plate? Like those guys are tough. Like I'm still trying to figure out the best approach on how to hit guys like him that have a really good four seamer and a really good sinker.
Now you try to figure that out on your own. Do you ask the hitting coaches? You ask guys that have faced him? Do you look at, I know you guys could have access to video. Like you could maybe look up a game that Zach Wheeler gave it up and how guys approach the at bat. Do you do that? How do you figure it out?
Yeah, it's just talking to guys in the cage. Like, what are you looking for off this guy? Or talking with the hitting coaches.
Yeah.
Like you said, when he does get hit, how is he getting hit?
Yeah.
Cause I mean, he has the four seam, he has the sinker, he's got the slider, he's got the splitter. Those guys are tough. It's just cause both the fastballs look very similar.
Yeah.
One's kind of riding up in the zone and then one's barreling in on your hands. And they kind of look the same.
One's
so,
more of a cutter. I mean,
his four seam's got good ride on it. Which means it kind of to the human eye appears to rise when it's not really.
It's called life on the fastball.
Yeah. You can't see it on TV, but
yeah,
I promise when I'm missing fastballs down the middle, they're usually riding on me. So,
yeah.
I'd say those guys with, you know, both the four seam and sinker when they're good is really tough.
Oh, I sit down there in the camera well, and I'm right by the on deck circle. I'm right by the steps. Who's ever in the hall to hit. And there's always some chatter going on of particularly when a reliever comes in. This guy has this. This guy has that. Who on the team does the most talking, trying to help guys hitting? Like, this guy throws this. Look out for this. Is it the veteran guys? Is it?
I wouldn't say one guy sticks out. typically if a guy's faced the pitcher coming in a ton, he'll yeah. relay some information. But it's tough because these pitchers are always like making adjustments too and evolving yeah. as pitchers. So right. they could have been throwing. We could play a team in April and then we'll see him down the line in August.
Yeah.
And when this pitcher was throwing against us in April, he was throwing a lot of sinkers. And then in August, he got rid of the sinker and now he's throwing four seams or yeah. now he's throwing cutters. So, I mean, guys are always changing. That's why the scouting reports are so important, because we have the information on what they've been doing lately versus what they've been doing for the entire year.
Yeah.
Yeah, I sometimes try to only give guys scouting reports if they ask, because sometimes what I'm seeing isn't exactly what they're seeing.
Right.
Like, I could be seeing, oh, it's sinking more than it's running, and guy will come back and be like, I didn't sink at all. It just ran a crap ton, right. you know?
And they
like,
have different scouting reports for different guys. They're going to pitch someone else differently
exactly.
than they're going to
yeah.
pitch you. So.
And sometimes you might have got two bad sinkers, and you're like, oh, it's not moving that much, and then the guy throws... You know, the guy yeah. behind you, too yeah. nasty.
And then he's messed like, up a guy and he's ticked off. Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, I don't know. It's sometimes you give it, sometimes you don't.
Yeah.
It's a crapshoot. Anyway.
I got to tell you, defensively, out there in left field, last year, correct me if I'm wrong, it looked like you were thinking a lot because it was new. Footwork's completely different. The throw's completely different. At least the footwork mechanics completely different. Angles to the ball are different, obviously. It looked like you were kind of thinking. And then all of a sudden in spring training, I'm like, wow, he's taken to it. It looks natural. You're reacting and not thinking. Is that accurate?
And I think it's just more just I'm comfortable out there. Last year, I mean, it's tough. I got thrown into a position I've never played before. In the big leagues.
At the big league level, this doesn't happen a lot.
In the middle of a season, playing must-win ball games.
Yes.
It wasn't easy. I'm going to be honest with you. And I was just trying to be perfect and make every play.
Yeah.
And I think that kind of got in the way a little bit. So this year, it's just I've gotten a lot more reps under my belt, and I'm feeling more comfortable. And... yeah, I'm kind of just playing the game rather than trying to be perfect and try to be perfect with the footwork and the timing and the jumps and the routes. I'm yeah. kind of just seeing the ball and going and getting it.
Like a golden retriever.
Yeah, and I think that's helped me, you know, a lot.
Yeah.
So.
Well, I got to tell you, it's also the – one of the toughest, if not the toughest, sun field in Major League Baseball.
That sun in
what
left is
it
bad.
Like out there? I mean, I can't imagine, because it's such a precise game, and it is a game of split seconds of reaction. And when you can't see the ball, or at least can't 100% see it, how do you play out there?
It's tough. I mean, sometimes there's really nothing you can do. Sometimes someone hits a line drive or one of those kind of flare fly balls that sit in the sun, and you either got to guess where the ball's going to be, or it's about all you can do, really.
Yeah.
I mean, if the ball's sitting in the sun, you can't see it.
Right.
And you have no idea where it is. And that happens pretty often in left field at our field. 6:40 game times, if the sun's out, you're battling that sun. It's right over home plate from your
you're
view
looking
left.
Directly into it.
And
it's setting.
And it's setting. And it doesn't go away for the first two innings. So
yeah.
It's tough, too, because with sunglasses, it's too dark.
Sunglasses always mess up my depth perception.
It's like it's too dark when you're looking at the batter. So if you have sunglasses on and the sun's setting and it's glaring right in your eyes, it's too dark when you have them on. So it's tough to see the ball off the bat.
Yeah.
But if you take them off and someone does hit you a fly ball, all you have is your glove
yeah.
to fight the sun. So there's some give and take there. I still haven't figured out what I like more, because when I have the sunglasses on, I can't really see the ball off the bat.
Yeah.
When I have my glasses off, I can see the ball off the bat. But once it's in the air, I got my glove to protect me from the sun, and that's it. So I'm learning how to play it.
Have you ever tried the flip downs? Back in the day, they'd have the ones that you could flip down.
That might be something I might have to try.
And they still still around. I see them around a few times. But literally, you can have your naked eye looking at the batter, and it's just one flip down, and you've got the glasses on.
Yeah, I mean, that might be something I have to try. But, yeah, CC always says it's the toughest left field in the league.
There's no doubt if it's not the toughest, it's top three.
Once the sun goes down, it's great, though. Yeah. It's a great left field.
What's it like as a hitter when the batter's eye is just drenched in sun and the pitcher's in shade? Is that real? We always talk about, okay, they can't. I see it. I'm like, these guys can't see the ball. You can't pick up the spin. Is that real?
Yeah, that's also real. When everything's bright behind the pitcher and the everything else is in the shade, the ball just looks like a cue ball. You don't see seams. You don't see spin. Again, it's just dark.
Yeah.
And it literally just looks like a kind of a dark cue ball coming at you. You don't see the seams, and it's tough to hit. I mean, it's not impossible. You definitely can still get your hits, but the level of difficulty definitely goes up. And you can tell too by the swing some guys are taking, if it's a little tougher to see out.
Yeah. So, Spencer, let's go. We want you to go out at the major league level and play a position you've never played before. It's a position that's totally different than the infield. And it's all, by the way, it's also the toughest sun field. So, good luck out there. Go get them. That's basically what happened last year.
It is what it is, baby.
But hey, you're at the major league level. You're living the dream, eh? Living the dream.
Exactly.
All right. I've got a lot to ask you here, and we got to get to it, including. Playing behind Ellie De La Cruz, which can be interesting at times because all of a sudden he's out in left field.
He just appears.
Want to talk to you about your engagement. Also want to talk about positions of hit in the lineup. We'll do that and more when we come back with Spencer Steer.
It's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year.
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations forgotten. The history.
Vegas Golden Knights.
History. Win. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
All right. Thanks. That Spencer was just counting me down. You'd be a good stage manager. Nice job. Nice job there. Hey, hitting in the lineup, you've been all over the place. Your numbers would suggest that you hit in the top half of the lineup. Is there more pressure up there? Is there a position you would rather hit? Would you rather hit up in the lineup or down in the lineup? Some guys like hit down in the lineup. I know you just want to be in, but we're beyond that. They need you in the lineup. Where do you want to hit?
Personally, I don't care, but if I had a choice, it'd be the top. For sure.
Mm-hmm.
I like hitting in the first inning. I like being a part of scoring in the first inning.
We like that too.
I like getting at bats. I like hitting as much as I can. So at the top, you're going to get more at bats.
You don't feel more pressure up there at all to produce?
No.
That's good.
I mean, I'm sure the expectations of fans and everyone else, it goes up. But for me, it kind of.
Yeah,
it's the same. I know what I need to do, and where I hit in the lineup doesn't really affect what I'm expecting of myself.
Yeah,
like if I'm in the seven hole, it's not like I'm like, oh, one for four is okay. Like, it doesn't change.
That's good. All right, Ellie De La Cruz playing shortstop, one of the fastest humans alive. What is it like to be a left fielder and there's a ball that you can't get to? But this dude gets to from the shortstop position, and out of nowhere, he just appears. And he's, like, sliding in front of you, and he makes the catch. And he ends up, like, at your feet, like, huh, I couldn't get there, but you did. What's this like?
Yeah, I mean, it's special, the things he's doing on the baseball field. Nothing I've ever played with a guy like that before. and I'm pretty sure everyone else hasn't either.
Yeah.
But yeah, I got to kind of keep my eyes on him. He's pretty silent out there. He doesn't really say much. He's kind of just running after the ball and going and making a play. In Seattle, when he went, I was about to dive for the ball.
Ooh.
And
see, that's what worries me.
It was kind of one of like that no man's land ball, yeah, like the other night. It happens with the righties because I'm deep in the gap off a righty, so
yeah,
he's kind of almost got that area covered. I feel like I can kind of even get more in the gap.
Yeah, he's like a short left fielder, softball, yeah, or something.
But yeah, I was in Seattle where it was kind of a wake up call for me. Like I got to know where he's at.
Was that the one where he came? He was shading over towards second base. Was that the one?
Yeah, like I was in the gap. He was shaded up the middle, and yeah, it was a righty, just off the end of the bat in no man's land down the left field line, and I was like getting ready to like go dive and like try to make a play on it, and then like last second I looked down and then I saw Ellie and I was like, oh, I should put on the brakes.
It's actually a very dangerous thing. I mean, it can be a dangerous thing.
I realized that he's going to cover more ground than me, and he wants to go make a play, man. Every ball that's hit, he wants to go make a play, and that's what I think is so awesome about him. He wants the ball hit at him. He wants to go make these plays, and I think that's why he's able to cover that much ground is because he just wants to go make a play. And I think, from that Seattle experience, I just got to learn that I got to know where he's at.
Yeah.
Because last thing I want to do is run into Ellie and, hurt him or get myself hurt. Yeah. So, the stuff he's doing is pretty incredible, though.
I've always imagined what he would be like in center field, how much ground he would cover.
It would be a lot.
It would be incredible. And his height, and he can jump, climbing the wall in center and right center. Just a thought. Now, you had talked about when I asked you, what do you do when you're in a slump? And I was actually corrected because I had said that my favorite answer from you was that you were a golden retriever in left field. That you just want to go down and chase the ball. And then I was corrected by John Sadak, who said, no, the best quote was the slump quote. You might not even remember it, but you said, when I'm in a slump, I go home and I crush a large pizza. It doesn't always get me out of the slump, but at least I had a pizza and it makes me happy.
Yep, that does happen.
Is that still the way that you try to get out of slumps?
Yeah, absolutely. I haven't had one yet this year, but when that time comes, it's coming.
Now, what's the Spencer pizza again? I had several questions about this pizza that people did emulate in order.
Mm. Yeah, I mean,
we'd like to.
I have branched
this
out
again.
From
really
going Domino's every time, but Domino's for a while there was my number one. And it'd be a thin crust pizza with pepperoni, bacon, and then like a buffalo sauce drizzle, or just throw some buffalo sauce.
That's still the go-to? What are we branching out to now? This is important information for fans.
Like I couldn't even name one for you, but,
how about like not branching out, who makes the pizza, the style of pizza? Do you get the same style of pizza wherever you go, or are you branching out?
I just get whatever I'm feeling, honestly. The only one I don't really like love is deep dish. I just think it's too much dough.
It is too much dough. I don't like Chicago pizza, Chicago-style pizza.
I mean, it's good. Like I had a slice in Chicago on getaway day. They had some deep dish, and
I mean, you just
eat it with a fork and a knife, and it's just it almost feels like a.
Yeah, I am absolutely a thin crust guy. I'm with you on that.
Yeah.
It's too much dough, and I don't want to eat it with a fork. If I got to eat with a fork, it's...
Yeah, I'm definitely more on the crunchy, thinner slices wave.
Very nice. Now, you had talked about there's a big difference between trying to stick, trying to find your way in the lineup, and I'm beating a dead horse here, but they need you now. You're entrenched in the lineup, which is a great thing. And there's a difference between being a rookie and, I don't want to call you a veteran yet, but, you know, you've got it under your belt. And you're no longer carrying the big speaker. Your quote was, there's really no difference other than I don't have to carry the speaker around, which rookies have to do, or the younger players. Now, we should probably explain this to the people out there. They have a major large speaker when we go on the road or anywhere that plays music, and it's pretty loud. I mean, the plane's rocking.
It is rocking.
And it's a big speaker, so the rookies have to carry that around. You no longer have to carry that, right?
Yeah. Typically as a rookie, you have some duties and some things you got to do. It's just kind of, it's great, you know? It's just part of it. It's part of the game. It's part of the process. It's part of being a big leaguer.
Yeah.
And every single guy has had their rookie duties that they've had to do before. And carrying the speaker was kind of my big responsibility. Some guys were saying I did almost too good of a job that they wanted to keep me on it. But I had to pass that on. I did not want to.
Now, how do you do a good job other than?
I was responsible. I never left it anywhere. I always kept it charged.
Also, guys leave it. Guys leave it.
I don't think guys have left it, but I never left it. I kept it charged.
That's the key. Definitely key to have it charged.
Yeah. I mean, it's not a hard job.
Who'd you pass the baton to? Who's got the speaker now?
I think, pitchers are kind of prima donnas. I think Abbott kind of does it when he's not starting, or, you know, when he doesn't have a bullpen day. They're super exhausting, tiring bullpen days. So I think Bubba kind of helps Abbott out when, you know, he has his...
Bubba Thompson?
Bubba Thompson. He kind of helps.
Did you just sarcastically say that they're super tiring bullpen days?
I mean, I'm like, oh, it's bullpen day, you know, big day. Go throw 20 pitches.
You know, I've always, the life of a starting pitcher, if you're a good starting pitcher.
They live the dream. I'm jealous.
Is it not the dream?
No, that's why I give them so much. That's why I talk so much trash to them. Because, I mean, when life's good as a starting pitcher, I mean, your life's good.
Yeah, if you're a good pitcher, you're once every 5 days.
I think Lodolo slept like a baby the last 2 weeks. I mean, look at his first two starts. That pillow's got to feel real good.
There's no question about it. Love watching him pitch. Goodness, he's filthy. He was filthy in spring training. I mean, the live sessions, like everyone was raving about Montas early on, and then all of a sudden Lodolo started throwing to you guys. I was like, oh, my goodness gracious. What's it like trying to hit off that dude as a right-hander?
I've said this a couple times already this year. When he's healthy, I think he's one of the best pitchers in the game.
Yeah.
I really do. It's the arm slot. It's how his slider comes out. It looks just like his heater, and then it moves. It just keeps going.
Fastball look like it's going to hit you as a right-hand batter?
Yeah, I mean, it's just like what makes him so tough is the angle of which, like, he throws the ball so far outside his body.
Yeah.
And it's, as a righty, it looks like it's coming right at you. And then, like, last 10 feet, it just takes a U-turn and goes right in, like, right down the middle. And it's just... And then he's got that slider that hits guys.
That back foot slider.
It hits,
which
the guys are taking the
foot.
They're taking full swings, and it's hitting them in the mid-thigh.
Yeah.
You don't see that. That's crazy. When he's healthy, he's one of the best pitchers in the game.
Yeah,
for sure.
We're early on in your career here, but have you thought about long term? Like, have they approached you about maybe signing a long term deal? Is that something you would be interested in here in Cincinnati?
No, I haven't heard anything, but yeah, absolutely.
I mean, smile his face. Yeah,
are you kidding me?
But when you, as a young player, when you sign a longer term deal. I don't want to say it's a friendly deal. It's a friendlier deal. So you're either rolling the dice of getting to free agency and you're performing really well and you're going to get a big, big contract, which doesn't happen to a lot of people. Or you sign one that's a little friendlier, but, man, it gives you just security. You know that, all right, if I get hurt or if this doesn't work out, man, I've got my life set no matter what. So it, it's kind of dicey.
Yeah, I mean, there's definitely a couple ways to approach it, but
yeah.
At the end of the day, I love playing here. I want to play here for as long as I can. So, you know, if the time comes and offer's right, I mean, no reason not to. So,
I hope the offer's there. Hello, Reds. This dude can play. We want him around here for a while. You got just a couple more minutes?
Yeah.
A few more things I want to ask you about. We'll be back with more. And hey, ain't love grand? We're going to talk about love with Spencer Steer when we come back. All right. Off season was big for you. Got on one knee and asked the question. You are now engaged. Take us through it. It was in Vail, Colorado, right?
Yes, it was in Vail. I was out of town, and it was on a Saturday. I was supposed to basically took an earlier flight than I told my fiance I was taking. She was up in Vail with her sister and her family and my future brother-in-law, so her sister's fiance. They were doing their wedding tastings and stuff up there because they're getting married this summer in Vail. So the whole family was up there, and they were all in on it, and I kind of just showed up outside.
So she didn't know you were going to be there at that moment?
Yeah, no, she had no idea. She thought
that's great.
I was still out of town. So, yeah, I was able to surprise her pretty good, and worked out nicely.
Very nice. I love the pictures that you posted. You're on one knee. You're doing the formal thing. And there was no hesitation from her, right? It was immediate yes.
She's probably like, finally, you know, like.
So this has been bantered around.
Yeah,
like, did she give hints? You know, the
yeah,
little
she
hints
kinda,
that
she
get?
Kinda, she was letting me hear it for a couple of years now.
Really? Wow.
I mean, we've been together since my freshman year of college. So
we went to college at Oregon together.
Yeah.
Right? Okay.
College
sweetheart, ain't love grand.
Yeah, it's, I mean, it's not like I knew or didn't know I wanted to marry her. Like, I knew, but it's tough. Like, I wanted it to be perfect. I wanted it to be, you know, memorable. I wanted to have her family there. I wanted to have, you know, a photographer to capture the moment. Like, just a lot more planning than I anticipated.
Yeah.
Especially trying to surprise her too. That kind of it's hard to get things by her. So
right.
it was tough to kind of get a plan and a plan set to surprise her. So
I did something very similar.
Did you?
So I did.
Great minds think alike, huh?
Well, I don't know about a great mind. I know you have a great mind, but yeah, certainly yes. It was it involved her family. We were out, but I got her whole family involved in it. That they showed up, and then my family showed up. So we were out, and then all of a sudden, out of the blue, both of our families are there, and just a total surprise, you know, captured the moment,
Jim.
Whatever. Thank you, Spencer. Thank you
beautiful.
Very much.
I wish my family could be there, but that would have totally been a huge red flag if my family was just randomly
correct.
In Colorado. So.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, they just I just had it set up where they were. It was at a giant Christmas tree. So all of a sudden they were there waiting for us, and we just walked over, and then she kind of knew what was up once they saw them. So kind of similar, but I think it's very cool. When is the wedding? Is it? It's going to be a winter wedding, right?
Yeah, January, January 2025. So
in SoCal.
In SoCal, yes.
Why SoCal? I mean, you're a SoCal kid.
Yeah, I got a lot of family there. And then January wedding, the weather should be
pretty
a little
good.
More mild compared to Denver that time of year. So,
yeah. Yeah. You never know what you're going to get in Denver at that point, which is where you live in the off season, right?
Correct.
All right. How's that going?
Love it there.
Love it there.
It's great. Yeah.
So this wedding, you think a lot of teammates are you going to invite? Teammates?
I'm hoping they show up. I will be inviting a lot of teammates.
I think this is going to be well attended.
I hope so.
Well attended. because they love Spencer Steer. Every time I bring up your name or you come up to any player, and it happened on the last episode of this podcast. I had Stevenson in here. And I don't know, somehow you came up. And the reaction's always the same. Spence. It's a giggle. And then it's Spence. Because your unique personality, we've talked about this before. You've often been the punching bag. Are you still the punching bag? But you accept
I think at this point everyone's a punching bag. I don't think anyone's safe. It's just kind of how the team is. It's just you're catching strays from every different direction. It's beautiful.
Who is the biggest assassin in the clubhouse as far as that goes?
I think you know the answer to that one.
My guess is Matt McClain, but I might be, or Maley. Maley's taking shots across the bow. Who am I forgetting? Who is it?
Our Italian friend, Martini, maybe?
How could I forget? You're right.
That was a layup.
Okay, I'm sorry.
I gave you a layup right there.
I forgot. Nick, I'm so sorry. You are right. You're right. Although McClain's up there.
McClain's up there.
He's a sneaky one, right?
McClain's been known to steal a lot of Martini's material, but...
Hold on. Breaking news. Dun, 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 dun. We've got breaking news. Matt McClain is stealing Nick Martini's material. The silence tells it all right there. Martini is unbelievable.
He's one of the funniest guys I've met.
And this happened. We talked about this last year. This happened instantly. It wasn't like he just like came up and then all of a sudden just, bam, fit in. And everyone said, oh, he's taking over the new funniest guy on the team role.
He's witty. He's that guy with all the one-liners.
Yeah.
You say something to him, he'll clap back like that. Like he's just so he's witty. He's just thinking on his feet. His chirps are good.
I missed the layup. Gosh, darn Martini, you're right. In spring training, he was going at it with McClain, and it was one of the funniest things I've seen because McClain was just doing that sneaky stuff, trying to get under his skin. And this is when, he wasn't playing yet. And he didn't do much in the offseason. And Martini's, I'm paraphrasing, but was basically like, I'm fighting for my life here. I'm trying to make the team. My life is on the line. You haven't done anything in 8 months. And you sit there and say that.
Yeah, Martini, he's funny, man. He's an absolute joy to have around.
And that helps, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, this team, talk about it so much about chemistry, and chemistry does not win games. Talent wins games. Execution wins games. But it certainly doesn't hurt, right? You guys are around each other a lot. To be around some guys that are jerks would not be fun at all. I've been to some clubhouse where there's some jerks.
I just think when you look at championship teams, you never see riffraff in the clubhouse. You always hear about how close everyone is, how it's like a family. Tell me if I'm wrong, but I can't remember the last time a team's won a championship and their clubhouse was in shambles.
Yeah, I mean, shambles, no. There have been some that where the guys are not good people. They're tolerated.
Mm-hmm.
But, winning at the ultimate level. The chemistry certainly could go a long way in that regard. But you better have talent.
Yeah, I mean, clearly. That's pretty important.
Speaking of which, how far do you think you guys can go? You guys got a chip on your shoulder at all that you didn't make the playoffs? Maybe not chip on your shoulder. Is it extra motivation? Do you talk about this? Is it something you don't need to talk about?
I don't think it needs to be talked about. I think if anything, it just gave us kind of some extra belief that we're a good team and we can play with anybody. And I think this is a team that can win the division and make a run in the postseason. I mean, that's a big thing. It's just getting to the postseason, then anything can happen after that.
Yeah. Well, that was proved last year.
Exactly.
The Diamondbacks. When you were watching that, you're like, that could have been us.
Yeah. I mean, anyone can play really good baseball at any given time, right?
Yeah.
They were playing really good baseball at the end of the year.
Not only who you play, but when you play them.
Yeah, and they got hot, right? That easily could have been us. It wasn't. And I just think there's that belief that, hey, you know, we can do this.
Yeah.
We didn't just have a good year last year. Like, we have the talent to make another run this year. And I mean, man, it's a long season. We got a long ways to go. But
yeah.
I'm confident that we have what it takes, and we have the pieces to do that for a long time too.
Because one of the hurdles you have to get over is you've just got to find a way to beat Milwaukee head to head.
Yeah. Seems like they kind of have our number.
Yeah, there's always that one team that, and unfortunately they've been on top of the division, so it's a double whammy there. But, you know, that's the difference head to head with Milwaukee last year. It's one of the differences between making the playoffs and not.
Yeah. I think it's also important too to not put too much emphasis on beating them, because that can turn into, oh, we're playing Milwaukee this weekend. Let's try harder. Let's swing harder. Let's throw harder.
Yeah, jerks like me asking about it.
And then it turns into, oh, man, we're playing Milwaukee again. We never beat these guys. Like, here we go again.
Yeah, no, I get it.
And then that's when you do uncharacteristic things, and then you look up and you lost another series to them. So I think it's important for us, because I think we had a little bit of that last year for sure. Especially when we were playing them, it seemed like every other week we had that little stretch. I think we played them like three series in like a month or something like that.
Yeah.
Or 3 weeks. So, I think that's when we play them again, I don't think it's necessarily like, oh, we have to beat them, but it'll be nice if we do.
It would certainly be nice. I'm rooting for it, and I'm rooting for you, as always. You're one of my favorite dudes. I say that a lot. People are like, everyone's your favorite dude. Yeah. But you have a special category, Spencer. You're like...
Thank you.
That's sort of the reaction you just gave is the reaction that people give when your name is brought up. Teammates like, Spence.
Could mean a lot of things.
Good. But it's always good. They like you. They're drawn to you. So I dig that. I appreciate you coming back. Hopefully we'll do this again sometime down the road. Good luck the rest of the season. And I'll be envying that swing, which is on balance nearly every time. Every time it's an on balance swing, it's a beautiful thing. And good luck with that sun in left field.
Thank you.
That is Spencer Steer. We'll catch you next time here on the Jim Day Podcast.
Baseball present, baseball past. Gonna share a few stories, gonna have